Good afternoon. On the update this Monday, how did this happen? Fire officials say one passenger has died, two others hospitalized after a single-engine Cessna seaplane crashed into a pier near the pilot's home. The FDNY says that plane crashed into a pier on the Long Island Sound around 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We'll have the latest details. Mayor de Blasio says that he's asked the state for permission to close schools and reinstate the restrictions on non-essential businesses in several neighborhoods because of a resurgence of coronavirus. Indoor dining, which just resumed a few days ago, would be suspended, and gyms would also close. The Rams grinded out a victory over the Giants in a game that was marred by a post-game fight between Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey and Giants receiver Golden Tate. And with a month to go before the presidential election and a shift to conservative spending, the Supreme Court is opening up a new term. That strengthened majority could roll back abortion rights, expand gun rights, and also shrink the power of government. This is the update, Monday, October the 5th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Monday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of the update. Hopefully you all have had a nice long weekend as we are finally in the first full week of October here in a normal home of Empire Outlets, our home away from home, so to speak. I'm Brandon Julian, of course. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a lot of news to get to this Monday. We're going to begin with fire officials from the FDNY. They say one passenger has died, two others hospitalized, after a single-engine Cessna seaplane crashed into a pier near the pilot's home. The FDNY says that the plane crashed into a pier on the Long Island Sound around 3 o'clock yesterday in Queens. A female passenger was killed. Two men, including the pilot, were hospitalized. The FAA has said that it will investigate the incident. Let's talk about the latest coronavirus developments. And the mayor has said that he has now asked the state for permission to close schools and reinstate the restrictions on non-essential businesses in several neighborhoods because of a resurgence of the coronavirus. The shutdowns would happen starting Wednesday in 9 zip codes in the city. The mayor says about 300 public and private schools would have to close. Indoor dining, which resumed just a few days ago, would also be suspended. Gyms were also closed. The mayor said that the city needed the state to sign off on these restrictions. Over the past 2 weeks, though, the number of new cases of the virus has been rising in small pockets of the city. We now go over to Corfu in New York. Excuse me, where two members of Congress are calling on the National Transportation Safety Board to reverse its decision not to send an investigator to the scene of a small plane crash that killed a prominent attorney and his niece. Representatives Brian Higgins and Chris Jacobs called it, quote, extremely concerning that coronavirus protocols would keep the NTSB from sending anyone to the Western New York site, where personal injury lawyer Steve Barnes and his niece Elizabeth Barnes died in Friday's crash. Genesee County Sheriff William Sharon said that the FAA, though, was at the scene. Back here in the city, the NYPD, they've made an arrest in the killing of a woman that was hit by a stray bullet inside of her home. They said on Saturday that Isam Alabar was arrested on murder and other charges in the death of Bertha Ariga. Police officers responding to a 911 call at Ariga's home in Queens shortly after midnight on Wednesday found her unconscious with a gunshot wound to the head. In Central Park, the carriage horses, they've returned to work for the first time since the pandemic hit the city last spring. The New York Post is reporting their drivers were tested for the virus before the carriages roll on Saturday for the first time in 6 months, and hand sanitizer was available. The industry has long been criticized by animal welfare activists who say that it's inhumane to make a horse pull a carriage through present-day Manhattan. Mayor de Blasio vowed to ban the carriages when he first ran for mayor in 2013, but later had to settle for moving their boarding area. The president's son, Eric Trump, is now scheduled to speak via video today with New York State investigators that are probing his family's business practices. That's according to court papers that were filed back on Friday. Eric Trump has given no indication that he will seek to delay the interview in light of his father's and stepmother's recent coronavirus diagnosis or for any other reasons. A White House doctor said on Friday, of course, that the other members of the first family had tested negative for coronavirus. New York Attorney General Letitia James is investigating whether the Trump Organization had lied about the value of its assets in order to get loans or tax benefits. And finally, a law enforcement official is telling the Associated Press that actor Rick Moranis was sucker-punched by an unknown assailant walking back on Thursday on a sidewalk near Central Park. Surveillance video shows a man wearing a black I Heart New York sweatshirt and backpack and hitting the 67-year-old Ghostbusters star and knocking him to the ground around 7:24 on Thursday morning. Moranis took himself to the hospital and later went to a police station to report the incident, according to the official, who was not authorized to speak publicly about the incident and did so on the condition of anonymity. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Monday, we have a few important messages to tell you about from the MTA. We'll talk sports and how that Giants game was ugly, and for many reasons. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will talk the latest national news, including how, with a shift to the conservatives pending, the Supreme Court is opening up a new term. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
Brandon Julian, from the streets of New York to wherever you are, The Update with Brandon Julian will be right back.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, of all the newscasters in New York, I just happen to be one of them. This is The Update with Brandon Julian. Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
This is a reminder for you to help stop the spread of COVID-19. When you ride the subway or bus, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth for your entire trip. It's the law and also a sign of respect to your fellow passengers. Thank you for riding with them. As a reminder, also, the fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.75. Transfers must be requested upon payment of cash fare. For select bus service, pay at the kiosks outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $6.75. Coins will no longer be accepted as payments on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Monday. And those New York Giants, they are still seeking for their first win. The LA Rams grinded out a 17-9 victory over the Giants in a game that was marred by a post-game fight between Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey and Giants receiver Golden Tate. Jared Goff hit Cooper Kupp for a 55-yard touchdown with 6:56 left to play. Ramsey and Tate scuffled at midfield after the final whistle after a game filled with trash-talking between the two Nashville-area natives. Ramsey has two young children with Tate's sister, and Tate was publicly upset last year when the couple went through a nasty public breakup. In terms of today's action, Yanks are on the road to take on the Rays tonight at 8:07, Game 1 of the American League Division Series. Gerrit Cole will get the ball for those Yankees. Blake Snell will go for Tampa Bay. When we return on the update this Monday, we will talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how the president yesterday continued to show disregard for the basic precautions to contain the spread of COVID, even as he declared a newfound appreciation for the seriousness of the coronavirus. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
From the streets of New York to wherever you are, The Update with Brandon Julian will be right back.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Paging common sense. Paging common sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is The Update with Brandon Julian.
Welcome back to the aforementioned Update with Brandon Julian. Monday out here. Hopefully you all had a nice long weekend. We are getting deeper and deeper into spooky season. That trip to Six Flags and Fright Fest definitely helped get me in the inspiration mood. But if you follow me on on all the social media, if you want to follow me on social media, it's at Dior_CT. I post me and my wife a lot for, won't draw your own conclusions, but. One thing I have tried my best to post is previews of our Halloween costumes. Now, I'm not allowed to disclose anything else just yet, but know that you'll be very surprised with what me and her come up with. And as she counts down the days to Halloween, I believe, since today is the 5th, is 25 more days. And the countdown goes on. Let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this October the 5th. The highlight of his day came in 2005. While defying the White House, senators voted 90-9 to approve an amendment sponsored by Senator John McCain, the Republican from Arizona, that would prohibit the use of, quote, cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment or punishment against anyone in U.S. U.S. government custody. A reluctant President George W. Bush later signed off on the amendment. In 1892, the Dalton Gang, notorious for its train robberies, was practically wiped out while attempting to rob a pair of banks in Coffeyville, Kansas. In 1947, President Harry S. Truman delivered the first televised White House address as he spoke on the world food crisis. In 1953, Earl Warren was sworn in as the 14th Chief Justice of the United States, succeeding Fred M. Vinson. In 1955, a stage adaptation of The Diary of Anne Frank by Francis Goodrich and Albert Hackett opened at the Court Theater in New York. In 1958, racially desegregated Clinton High School in Clinton, Tennessee, was mostly leveled by an early morning bombing. In 1983, Solidarity leader Leach Welsia was named winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. In 1988, Democrat Lloyd Bentsen, that's Bentison, lambasted Republican Dan Quayle during their vice presidential debate, telling Quayle, quote, Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. In 1989, a jury in Charlotte, North Carolina, convicted former PTL evangelist Jim Baker of using his television show to defraud followers. In 2001, tabloid photo editor Robert Stevens died from inhaled anthrax, the first of a series of anthrax cases in Florida, New York, New Jersey, and Washington. In 2011, Apple founder Steve Jobs died in Palo Alto, California at the age of 56. In 2017, Hollywood executive Harvey Weinstein announced that he was taking a leave of absence from his company after a New York Times article detailed decades of alleged sexual harassment against women, including actor Ashley Judd. And in 2018, a jury in Chicago convicted white police officer Jason Van Dyke of second-degree murder in the 2014 shooting of black teenager Laquan McDonald. When we return on the update this Monday, we will talk the latest national news, including how an appeals court has refused now to allow the Trump administration to continue detaining immigrant children in hotel rooms before expelling them under rules adopted during the pandemic. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
From the streets of New York to wherever you are, The Update with Brandon Julian will be right back.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around, and every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian on this Monday, everyone. Hopefully you're having a good day out there. Let us talk the latest national news. And we are going to begin in Washington. Well, with a shift to the conservatives pending, the Supreme Court is opening up a new term. That strengthened majority, of course, could roll back abortion rights, expand gun rights, and shrink the power of government. 8 justices are getting back to work today, less than a month before the presidential election. After their colleague, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of course, died last month, the Senate could confirm President Trump's nominee for Ginsburg's seat, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, before Election Day. They're also working in the midst of a pandemic that has forced the court to meet by telephone. Let's go down now to Bethesda, Maryland. The president yesterday continued to show disregard for basic precautions to contain the spread of COVID-19, even as he declared a newfound appreciation for the seriousness of the virus. His comments came during the third day of hospitalization for the disease. In a video message to the nation late Sunday afternoon, Trump stated, quote, "I get it," before briefly leaving the hospital to salute from his motorcade supporters who had gathered outside. The move undercut the video message in which he said his hospitalization resulted in him, quote, "really going to school about the virus that has killed more than 209,000 Americans. Let's go over to Houston now, where an appeals court has now refused to allow the Trump administration to continue detaining immigrant children in hotel rooms before expelling them under rules that have been adopted during this pandemic. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday upheld lower courts' order that would have required the U.S. to stop using hotels. Border agencies since March have held more than 600 children in hotel rooms before expelling them from the country without a chance to request asylum or immigration protections. There is more national news to talk about, and we will address that when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, everyone. On this Monday, we are talking the latest national news. And we're going to go out west now to San Francisco. With the deadly wildfires in California have burned more than 4 million acres this year, a new record for the number of acres burned in a single year. The previous record was 2 years ago when wildfires destroyed 1.67 million acres. California fire officials said that the state hit the fearsome milestone yesterday with about 2 months still left in the fire season. Lightning strikes in mid-August caused some of the most devastating blazes, and most of the damage has occurred since then. The wildfires have incinerated hundreds of homes and killed 31 people. We're going to go over to New Orleans now. We're at a time of intense scrutiny in America over who is commemorated in public parks or in front of courthouses. The Andrew W. Mellon Foundation is spending $250 million over 5 years to change how history is expressed in public places, in public spaces. The Monuments Project, as it's being called, will help build new monuments or memorials, add context to existing ones, and relocate others. A Philadelphia-based group called Monument Lab is the first beneficiary. They will receive $4 million. With the money, they plan to conduct an audit of monuments across the country, as well as set up field offices in 10 states. And finally, we've learned that former Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, who pushed major changes in education policy and lawsuit rules through an increasingly conservative state legislature in the 1990s, has died. He was 90 years old. Marzanne Goldsby, who was Foster's press secretary when he was governor, said that Foster died yesterday at his home in Franklin, surrounded by relatives. The bald and burly millionaire businessman was a state senator from South Louisiana when he switched from the Democratic to the Republican Party in 1995 and launched what many considered a long-shot bid to succeed for four-term Governor Edwin Edwards. Among Foster's successes were passage of a public school accountability program, creation of a community college system, and changes in lawsuit rules that he said were stacked against business. And in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Monday, October the 5th, 2020. That is the update on this Monday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Please be well. And honey, you don't have to worry about dinner. They fed me here. Actually, you can worry about dinner. They fed me here. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow.